We want to thank you for your presence this morning. We're thankful most of all to God who's allowed us to come together in this capacity once again in order that we might study some things that hope will help us as we sojourn upon this earth. It will be my hope and my prayer this morning to say things to you that will be an encouragement, that will be edifying, that can help you live the life that God would have you live here, and that you would be strengthened to do the things that God would have you to do. And as already been pointed out by Brother Sims a few moments ago, if you find anything that you disagree with what we're about to talk about this morning and this evening, and you would like a better, clearer Bible answer for the things that we discuss, please feel free to ask. I'll be more than happy to sit down with you with an open Bible and to come to a better understanding of the Word of God. Just want to take a moment. Those group leaders, I know Jerry's not here, but Mel, you're here. There's been a change on the group meetings for August because I'm going to be gone in a couple of weeks, and my group was going to come up on the Sunday I get back, and I'm going to get back late Saturday night. I really didn't want to start out that way, so being the one that makes up the groups, I just changed it. So it's changed just a little bit, so just make sure you take a look at that. And also for the men, we usually meet the second Saturday in August for our men's class at 8:30, but we'll be meeting this Saturday at 8:30. Not a week from this Saturday, but this Saturday on the 6th. I volunteered to teach that class, and after I volunteered some months ago, then I realized I'm not going to be here that Saturday, so the men were gracious enough to move that up too, so we'll meet this Saturday at 8:30 and hope that the men here can be together here for that. You know, one of the things that is very prominent in the world of religion is the subject called eternal security. And what eternal security basically means is that once one enters a relationship with God, that your salvation is a closed book. In other words, it is something that is guaranteed to you. It is something that God has given you, and it cannot be taken away from you. And so no matter what you do in your life, whatever conduct you may do and whatever action you may take, it has no bearing upon the spiritual promise of reward in heaven, that is guaranteed, and your physical actions do not change or alter that in any way. Now, that is a very popular doctrine. And it's very popular with one of the largest mainstream denominations that are very prominent here in the state of Kentucky, and especially within the 30 or 40 mile radius here. Now, if indeed that is true, that's a comforting thing. That is a wonderful thing if it were true that all the things that I do or don't do have no bearing upon where I'm going to spend eternity. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to stress, and I'm not going to have any anxiety, and I'm not really going to be too concerned with how I act and what I do because it doesn't matter. And indeed, if that's true, what would that mean about my habits? Well, what if I have some bad habits? So what? You have bad habits, you have bad habits. Doesn't matter anyway. Because your eternal security is secure. But I want to tell you very plainly, and we're not going to talk about eternal security or grace because that's another subject, but I want to tell you that biblically speaking, that's a false doctrine. The Bible doesn't teach that. And so since the Bible doesn't teach that, it tells us that our conduct indeed is important. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, the Bible says that we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We're going to give an account of how we conducted ourselves as we lived upon this earth. We're going to give an account of the actions and decisions that we've made. And so sometimes in our lives, we contract and we develop bad habits. And when you develop a bad habit, you need to know how to overcome a bad habit. You develop bad habits, and you must undevelop them if you're going to be pleasing to God. And if you remember in our Bible lesson this morning, What did we demonstrate that has always been true with God's relationship to man? It has always been based upon His love and mercy and compassion and His grace and His long-suffering, that His blessings are contingent and conditioned on our strict adherence to the things that He commands us to do. And when man disobeys God, there is a parallel consequence. It has always been that way, back from the Garden of Eden all through the end of the Bible to the end of Revelation. And so that is not something that should cause us to be surprised, because it's always been like that. And so we want to talk this morning and this evening about how we can overcome bad habits. And as anything else, we've got to introduce our subject by defining what we mean. What is a habit? Well, a habit is a custom or a practice, especially an aptitude or inclination for some action, acquired by repetition and showing itself in facility of performance or in decreased power of resistance. I want you to notice this last statement. Showing itself in the performance or decrease of the power of resistance. And so what it basically means is, it's something that we acquire. It's something that we have developed. And by our performance and repetition of doing that thing, we have a very low resistance to not do that thing. And so that becomes a habit. That becomes something that we do over and over again. Mark Twain made this statement. To cease smoking is the easiest thing I ever did. I ought to know because I've done it 1,000 times. Well, yes, it's easy to do. It's easy to say. But is a habit easy to break? I'm going to tell you, you know what I've read? I've read that it could take a year to develop a habit, and it will take 3 times as long to lose the habit, to be able to overcome it. Now, brethren, that was eye-opening to me. But when I stopped and thought about it, you know, in my own life, I know indeed that's true. It's that it's more difficult to stop a habit than it is to begin one. And so what we want to look at is how to overcome bad habits. And I want you to pay attention to this chart I'm about to show you, because I believe it's very true in everything that we do. First of all, watch your thoughts, for they become words. What we think in our mind is what we're going to produce out of our mouth. You can't speak anything that's... If you have a bad habit of swearing, you have a bad habit of gossiping, you have a bad habit of letting your temper get out of control, your problem is not your temper. Your problem is not your cussing. Your problem is that you have no control over the things that you put in your mind and how you react when you get into a situation that makes you confrontational. And so you've got to, first of all, control your mind to control your words. Next, watch your words, for they become action. First you begin to think it. Then you speak it. And then after you speak it, then you begin to do it. That's how it works. It's always worked that way. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. The things that you do repetitiously, they all of a sudden become a habit. You ever heard people say, well, that's just a habit I have? Well, you know, not all habits are bad. What if you've got a habit to read the Bible all the time? Don't break that habit. That's a good habit. You know, there's habits you can have that are good, but there's other habits that you do as a repetition that you need to change. I'll give you an example. When you come to a stop sign, what do? Now, don't tell me you speed through it, because then you'd be violating the law. But I'll tell you what you do. You put your foot on the brake and you stop. And you know what? You weren't born to do that. And you know what? When you ever see a stop sign, what do? By second nature, you put your foot on the brake. Why? You have developed that habit by constant repetition over a long period of time. And it's something that you don't even think about anymore, do you? You don't think about that. It's an automatic reaction. That's how habits are formed. They become an automatic reaction. Watch your habits, for they become your character. Brethren, your habits define your character. If you got bad habits, you don't have a very good character. If you got good habits, you probably got a good character. Because they develop, they make you who you are. And so your habits begin to define who you are. And watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. What kind of character you have is going to determine whether you go to heaven or hell. Whether you're going to be lost or saved. If you have a bad character and you have bad habits, your destiny is not going to be very good. And so, brethren, you look at this, and what I want you to see is that this is something that affects every one of us. These things that I've just told you about here, they happen to every one of us, and this is how we become who we are. Our character is defined by our habits. Who we are and what people see when they look at us, and our character that they see is defined by the things that we do, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to talk to you about some things that are sinful that you need to overcome in order that it not rob you of happiness, health, spiritual growth, spiritual productivity, confidence, and security. And some of the habits that we're going to talk about are not things that you don't know about. Drug addiction, drinking alcohol, pornography, covetousness, tobacco, overeating, cursing, swearing, lying, gossip, fault-finding, complaining, worry, wastefulness, absenteeism, tardiness. When I lived in Las Vegas, and I preached in Las Vegas a number of years ago, you know the person that lived closest to the building? You could set your watch, and at 10 minutes after we started, she would walk in. And she lived 2 minutes from the building. Now, did she have some extenuating circumstances? No. She had a bad habit. She had a habit that she developed. But you know what always struck me as odd? She was a real estate salesman. She owned a real estate company. And whenever she had an appointment to show a property, she was always on time. She never was late to that. Now, why was she always on time for that, but she was often tardy for services? Because she had developed a bad habit. Now, brethren, bad habits can be broken. They were made and they can be broken. And so, we want to talk today about how to secure happiness and health and spiritual growth and productivity and confidence and spiritual security. And we can do that by breaking our bad habits. Now, how do you break a bad habit? How do I break a bad habit? Number one, you've got to identify what the problem is. If I got a bad habit, then I've got to recognize and acknowledge that I got a bad habit. And you know what? People can tell you all the time you have a bad habit, but it is never going to resonate until you understand that that's a bad habit. And until you come to that realization, you're never going to change that habit. You're never going to alter it. And so you have to recognize and identify the problem. Blindness to the need to stop a bad habit ensures the rejection of all pleas to stop. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 14, listen to how Jesus described some of the hearers that heard him. He said that in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people have grown dull, and their eyes they have closed, and their ears are hard of hearing, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn that I should heal them. Why couldn't they understand? Why couldn't they comprehend? Because they closed their mind. They closed their ears. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to be bothered. It wasn't that they couldn't understand. They didn't want to understand. You ever talk to people who say, you know, I've had people come to my office and say, Keith, I just want help. I just want to know what God wants me to do in this situation. And I tell them, they say, I'm not going to do that. I said, well, why? He goes, I don't want to do that. I said, well, that's your choice. But don't ask me how to help you. This is God's advice, how to help you. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. But then you're still going to have a problem. You see, you have to identify the problem. You remember in Revelation 3, verse 17, the church of Laodicea, they thought they were rich. They thought they were doing great. They thought they were at the height of doing everything. And God says, you're not rich. You're poor. You're naked. You're blind. You see, they had a whole different understanding of what they saw in themselves and what God saw in them. And you know what, brethren? A lot of people are like that. They see themselves one way, but God sees them in a whole different light. Why? Because God's looking at the heart. God's looking at the real person. And you know, sometimes you look at a person and you see one thing and you listen to them and they see another. Why? They're looking through a different pair of eyes. They're looking at a different thing. And you see, you got to identify the cause, not just the symptom. You know why we never get over a problem? We never deal with the problem. We deal with the symptom. You're not going to fix a problem by dealing with the symptom. Let me illustrate. If you have a problem using bad language, your problem is not your tongue. That's a symptom of your problem. The problem is that you have the wrong thing in your mind and you do not know how to control your temper. That's what's causing you to use bad language. You have the wrong vocabulary in your mind. That's a different problem. You have to know what the problem is. You can't solve the problem until you know and identify what the problem is. Now, the other thing that you must do is you must cultivate, the sooner the better. The sooner you recognize the problem, the quicker you can solve it. Brethren, I've never, ever seen a person stop a bad problem until he or she recognized that they had it. Let me use myself as an illustration. Now, I was raised in a very godly family. And I learned very early on that you didn't lose bad language. And it was something my parents would not tolerate. And it's not something that my parents did. Now, that's not particularly true with my father. He had a tendency from time to time, because he had a bad temper, to say things that he shouldn't say. But he never tried to excuse it, that it was right behavior. He always said it was wrong, and that you shouldn't do that. That's wrong behavior. But you know what? I went into the military right out of high school. And when I got into the military, I got around a different class of people. And when I got around a different class of people, they talked a lot differently than the people that I grew up with and my family. And you know, over a period of time, I began to talk like they did. And I began to use words that I never thought I would ever use in my life. And then one day I'm sitting there, and something happened, and I said something, and all of a sudden I thought, man, what did I just say? And you know what? From that moment on, I began to change the way that I spoke. I was still in the military, but I began to take control of my tongue. And I began to watch the things that I put in my mind. And I began to talk a lot differently. And brethren, that's how you get a bad habit. You identify it, and the sooner you identify it, the better off you're going to be in conquering it. But you know what? Just identifying a problem is not enough. You've got to cultivate a strong desire that you're going to quit that habit. It's what, I'm not talking about it. Well, I know that's a bad habit and I need to quit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that I'm going to do everything in my power that I'm going to stop this habit. I'm going to quit doing this action. And you've got to cultivate in your mind a desire that I'm going to put forth every effort to stop this behavior. The desire to quit must be stronger than the desire to continue. Now, I want you to think about that. If you're ever going to break a bad habit, the desire to quit must be stronger than the desire to continue the habit. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 18, the Bible says that we yield ourselves to whom we obey. We're either a servant of sin or a servant of righteousness. We're slaves to one and we're slaves to the other. And that is determined by who we yield to. If you have a habit of lying, then you've got to have a stronger desire to tell the truth. And until you develop the ability and the desire that I want to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you'll never stop lying. Until you say that I'm only going to speak the truth, you'll never stop lying. You have to develop a desire that's stronger than the desire to continue. It requires proper and sufficient motivation. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of knowledge is a respect for God. In John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And in Psalms chapter 112 and verse number 1, Psalms 112 and verse number 1, it says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. He not only respects God, he respects the commandment. You see, that's an attitude. You've got people who break a bad habit are people who really want to do it. I don't care what habit you're talking about. My father smoked for 40 years. You know how he finally quit? One day, he took out his cigarettes that was always in his pocket, and he laid them on the table, and he threw them in the trash, and he never bought another pack. No gimmick, no patches, no electric cigarette. He just said, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm going to stop. And he never did it again, and he hasn't smoked now in 10 years. That's the only way you're ever going to quit. You're never going to quit until you have a stronger desire to quit than to continue. And anybody that thinks they can't do it is because they've convinced themselves they can't do it. Now, brother, there's habits that there's going to be some physical repercussions if you do them. If you're an alcoholic, I've seen this in my own eyes. If you continually abuse alcohol and all of a sudden you quit, there's going to be some physical problems that you're going to have. You're going to have some physical withdrawals. That's going to happen. But, brethren, it's got to happen to quit. You're going to have to go through it to quit. I've heard people say, well, I can't quit. You can't quit because you don't want to quit. People don't quit because they don't want to quit. If you want to quit, you'll find a way to quit. And you'll convince yourself that you can quit. I got a cousin. Love him to death. He's my best friend on the earth. That's not a member of the Lord's church. And I begged him. He's an alcoholic. He has been for years. We grew up together. I love him. There's nothing I wouldn't do for him. We're in a restaurant a few years back. And I pleaded with him. I begged him. I said, I'll help you. I'll find a place where you can go dry out. I'll help you get into a program. I'll do whatever I can, Kenny. Just quit. You're destroying your life. You're not going to live 10 more years. He says, Keith, I don't want to quit. Then I can't help him. Then I can't help him. It grieves me to tell you that. But if he doesn't want to quit, I can't help him. And brethren, any bad habit you have, you're never going to beat it until you decide you don't want to do it anymore. And you know what? I can't do that for you. I can't make you not want to do it. You've got to have that within yourself. And I'm going to ask you a question. Honestly. If you have a bad habit, who developed that bad habit? You did. Then who's the only one that's going to get over it? You are. But you see, we have to have faith that we really want to quit. And if we don't do that, then we won't quit the habit. You know what? I want to tell you the truth. If you don't really want to do it, then it's a waste of your time to begin. Because you're never going to beat it. You're never going to beat a habit until you determine you don't want to do it. And your desire to not do it is greater than your desire to continue. That's what you have to do. And you know what else you have to do? You have to have a cultivated hatred for that. I didn't want to swear anymore. I didn't want those kind of words coming out of my mouth anymore. I did not want to be defined, and I did not want my character to be defined by the words that I was using. And I grew to hate those words. And you know that this day, when somebody takes God's name in vain, it just gets beside me. People use God's name like it's an adjective, like it's a conjunction word. Every word out of their mouth is God. And brethren, let me tell you something. We got a real problem with something called euphemism. There's a guy on the radio in the morning, and he just drives me nuts. He says, oh my God, like you say, the. That's blasphemous. That's using God's name in a common way. If you have a habit of saying, oh God, brethren, you got a problem. That's using God's name in a derogatory way. Brethren, that's a bad habit. And you have to learn to stop that bad habit. But you've got to have a cultivated hatred for it. Too many take a lax view of sin and its consequences. We need to see sin as being black and hell as being hot. God says, don't fill those that can kill the body. Kill the one that can throw your body and soul into hell. You see, you've got to see sin for what it is. Let me tell you how to illustrate this. You go to the doctor's office tomorrow, and you've had a bunch of blood work. And you're sitting across that desk. You've been here. You've done this. And you're sitting across the desk, and he's got his results there in front of you. And he says this. He said, well, there were some good results, and there were some bad results. He says the good results, and he gives you all these good results. But then he says, but. As soon as he says, but, your attention is really, you know, really keen. And then he says the C word. He says, you have cancer. And when he says the C word, man, you are paying attention. And your whole attitude changes when you hear the C word. Because you know what? In your mind, that is something that you know is very serious. And if he says, you have cancer, but we can cure it if you do this. Are you going to have a desire to do that? You're going to do whatever he tells you to do because you don't want to die. Aren't you? You need to look at sin like that. You need to look at if I continue this habit and I continue acting like this, that I'm going to lose my soul over this. And when you look at it that way, let me tell you what, you'll cultivate a hatred for it and you'll cultivate the ability to quit it. But if you don't think it's very bad, why, everybody sins. Why, everybody sins. Nobody's perfect. You know how many times I've heard that in the last 5 years? Well, none of us are perfect. I'm not talking about perfecting it. I'm talking about a habit that you have that's condemned by God, and you got to quit it, and until you realize that it's killing you spiritually, you're never going to quit. It's not that bad. Yes, it is that bad. Oh, because, oh, I get mad, and I fly off the handle now, and that's not so bad. Yes, it is. Here's why it is, because it's a sin. Number two, it's a horrible example to your children. It's a horrible example to people who are not Christians. It's defining your character. Have you ever heard people say, well, you know, I know that guy. You got to take his word with a, you got to take what he says with a grain of salt. You know what that means? That means that they don't have any respect for that man's word. What a terrible thing to say. Brethren, we have to have a hatred for sin. We must hate anything that prevents us from bearing fruit. John 15 says we must bear fruit or we'll be pruned out. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 104, it says we must hate every false way. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it tells us that we must hate sin. You see, we must see sin as a cancer. Sin is something that will keep you out of heaven. Do you realize that? If you don't realize that, let me illustrate another way. What caused Jesus to die on the cross? Why did he have to suffer that horrible, humiliating, painful, excruciating death on the cross? Why did he have to go through that? Because of sin. If I had not sinned, Jesus would not have had to die. He died because I sinned. He died because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And you know what? I'm not proud of that. And I know you're not proud of it either. But if I learn to hate sin like that, then I won't easily fall into sin, will I? I'm not going to really fall easily into sin if I learn to have an intense hatred for it. You know, I have no desire to drink. You'd have to pour it down my mouth. I have no desire, absolutely none, to take drugs. I have none. And you'd have to force it in me to get in. But you know, there's other things that I got to work. There's other things I had to work at. There's other things that I had to really develop a hatred for so I wouldn't do them. And brethren, preachers have those fights too. Preachers have those problems too. So don't tell me that you can't do it, and don't tell me that it's beyond your ability to quit, because it's not. It's what you have convinced yourself. But I'll tell you something that really helped you. I'll tell you something that was the thing that helped me is when I quit trying to do it by myself. When I went out there and had God help me, you know, it got a lot easier. When I sought God's help, when I prayed continually, God, help me control my temper. Help me not to get mad. Help me not to get angry so quickly. Help me to control my emotions. And you know, brethren, I still pray about that. And I pray about that with some of my brethren. They kind of push my buttons sometimes. And sometimes I want to just, but I can't do that. I got to control myself. I got to learn to step back and I got to control myself. What is God's will regarding sin in your life? God wants me to repent of it and get out of it. It says in Acts 6:17, verse 30, but the time of ignorance God once winked at it, he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God's desire that all come to repent in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. And Ezekiel 18, verse 30 through 32, the prophet Ezekiel said that the soul that sinneth it shall die. But God doesn't want the sinner to die. He wants him to live. And so what temptation cannot be overcome with the help of God? What habit you got that you can't get overcome with God? What habit is stronger that God can't help you defeat it? Name one. Drinking? Drug addiction? Tobacco? Pornography? Swearing? Lying? Cheating? What is it that God couldn't help you overcome? Name me something. You can't name one thing. Because there's nothing that God can't help you defeat. You know what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says? We talked about this verse a few months ago. There's no temptation that's taking you that is common to man, but with every temptation, God will make a way that you might be able to escape it. And that you might be able to bear it, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But I had a good old boy one time who took issue with that verse. He goes, that's not true. If God would have done that, then I wouldn't be an alcoholic. No. You're an alcoholic because you didn't take God's way of escape. You didn't put that bottle down. You didn't put that drink down. You didn't stay away from it. The reason you're an alcoholic is because you couldn't say no. It had nothing to do with God. It has something to do with my resistance. And that's just an out. I'm just looking for an out. God can help you if you can help. Remember what Paul said? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But brethren, you can do all things with Christ that strengthens you, but you got to help God. You've got to do God's instruction. You got to follow His advice. You got to follow His instruction. You know, God can't help you if you won't listen to what He tells you to do. Let me ask you something, parents. Did your children ever do things that you warned them not to do? And then they suffered because they did it? And then they go, why did this happen to me, Dad? Well, let's step back for a minute. Do you remember a conversation we had about 6 months ago? Do you remember you came to me and you asked me about this? Do you remember what I told you? What did you do? And then they get that sheepish look on their face and they kind of look down and says, I got it. You didn't have to say I told you so. They got it. But brethren, if you don't take God's advice, don't blame God. You've got to use God's advice and you've got to use it correctly. And so you've got to seek God's help. But you know what? You can also seek aid from your brethren. You know what? Have there ever been brethren who got addicted to drinking? Yes. Have there been brethren who got addicted to drugs? Yes. Have there been other brethren who got addicted to pornography? Yes. Have there been brethren who were affected and were addicted to womanizing? Yes. And I've met them all. And I've seen a lot of them beat it. Now, were they any different than anybody else? No. But you see, somebody might have dealt with something that you're going through. And they can tell you how they beat the habit. They can help you help yourself. You know what? I got skeletons in my closet. I'm not proud of them. But if I'm dealing with somebody that's gone through a fight that I've already had, I'm going to do everything in my power to try to help him and encourage him that you can beat this because I beat this years ago. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We all have done things that we'd like to undo. But can I help somebody that's going through the same battle that I had some time ago? And wouldn't I not try to help them to so they could know that they could escape from this demon? Yes. We need to have humility and needed at each of these steps, but one needs enough humility to seek support from other brethren. Let me give you an illustration. To give you a biblical illustration in a congregation. I was in Vegas. I don't know why so many of these happened in Vegas, but this happened in Vegas. I was doing a series on worldliness, believe it or not. And the next Sunday, I was going to preach on homosexuality. And I announced to the congregation that next week I'm going to do a lesson on what the Bible says about homosexuality. So I'm standing at the door at the end of my lesson and greeting people and the visitors that we had. And there was a young lady there, about maybe 21. She's from Oregon, and she was visiting that Sunday morning, and she gave me a card and had a number on it. And she said, "You know, I think I'm glad to hear that you're going to preach on this subject. I think that's a subject that the Lord's Church kind of avoids, and I'm glad that you're going to deal with it. But," he says, "let me try to help you." And she says, "why don't you call my dad? I think my dad might be able to give you some insight that maybe you might not get from someone else, and it might be a help in your lesson." I said, "Well, thanks." And so Monday morning, later in the day, because there's 3 hours difference between a couple hours of difference, so I called and I got a hold of him and I talked to him for about an hour and a half. And you know, he really helped me. You know how? This man was married, had a couple of kids, had a couple of girls. And all of his life, he had had the temptation to practice homosexuality. He had always been tempted to have a relationship with another man. He never did it, but he was continually fighting it in his mind. And he thought he was sick. He thought there was something wrong with him. And it was happening more and more that he was having this temptation come closer and closer to him acting it out. So you know what he did? One Sunday morning, he came down the middle of the aisle and he confessed this fight with his brethren and asked them to help him. Now, you know what? That's a pretty brave step, isn't it? Because how would people look at that brother after that? Here's a brother seeking help because he's fighting the demon of being tempted to commit a homosexual act. Now, you know what? Maybe you and me will think, there is no way that that could happen. I mean, I can't understand that to even begin to understand. But he's asking for help. And you know, it's a credit to that church that they took him under his wing and they helped him beat that habit. And you know what he does today? He counsels people who are fighting the same demon. Now, brethren, that's the way it's supposed to work. But I've been in congregations that after he confessed that, they would treat him differently after he confessed that. But you know what? Then that would say that that church had a problem. Because that's a sin. Now, again, who's the one that says one sin is as bad as another sin? Oh, well, the Bible says that, but we don't look at it like that, do we? But brethren, we need the strong cannot force the accountability to the weak. You know, when Romans chapter 15 says, support those who are weak, that means there are some people who have weak faith. That means there's somebody that needs to be supported that has weak faith, but that also means there has to be somebody that has strong faith. What do we do with our strong faith? Do we just keep it to ourselves, or do we reach out and try to help people who have a weaker faith? We need to reach out and help people who have weaker faith. That's our responsibility to God. Who better understands the struggles of a Christian than another Christian? Who better understands the daily fight with flesh and blood better than another Christian who's going through the same fight? Who has better understanding of what's at stake than another Christian? You see, they have an insight that the world does not have. They have help and understanding that the world doesn't comprehend. That's why we're to prefer one another. But another thing you must do to beat a bad habit is you've got to determine that you're going to quit now. Oh, I'm going to quit, but not right now. I'm going to quit, but I'm not ready to yet. Well, then you're never going to quit. You determine that you're going to quit now. The sooner you act, the easier it'll be. Remember the day of your Creator and the days of your youth. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Why do some people that you know who have heard hundreds of invitations and yet have not obeyed the gospel? I can tell you why. Two things. Number one, they don't believe they're lost. Number two, their heart is starting to harden to where the Word of God cannot touch it. And every time they resist, their heart becomes a little harder. And every time, it doesn't hurt as bad as the time before. You know, I have seen people during the invitation song have their hands on the pew and they can't let go because they know they need to do something. But you know, over time, those hands come off the pew because it doesn't hurt as bad as it used to. And that's how it is with a habit. If you determine that you don't want to quit now, and that's all the devil wants you to do, just put it off a little longer. Just wait a little bit longer till you're stronger, then you'll be able to quit. That's the devil talking to you. You see, if you were diagnosed with cancer when it was in the early stage and it was treatable, would you delay? Would you say, well, it's not bad yet. It hasn't got to the third stage yet. Would you say, well, I'll just wait until it gets to the latter stage? Would you say that? There's not a one in you in this audience that would say, well, you know, it's not at the worst stage yet. I'll just wait a little while longer. No. What about a sin, which is far more serious problem? Brethren, if you got cancer, that's not as big a problem as sin. The worst thing that cancer can do is kill you. The worst thing a sin can do is take your soul. You got a more serious problem. You know, I appreciate something Tommy says in his prayer. He prays for the spiritually ill because they got more to lose. That's right. Brethren, I don't care what problem you got. If you got a bad habit, you got more than that. You got more problem than the habit. You got a sin problem. And if you don't correct that habit, you're going to be lost. Brethren, that's a far more serious problem. And if you don't realize that, you'll never quit. If you don't realize that sin, that habit is killing you spiritually, you will never quit. You're just going to continue on. And you know what? The longer you do it, the harder it is to quit. The harder it is to quit. And so you've got to determine that you're going to quit now. And you will never determine that until you see the seriousness that the habit is not compatible with being a child of God. And until you get that in your head, you will never be able to quit. And the last thing we'll think about this morning is to break a habit, you've got to change the way that you think. You have to change the way that you think. In Philippians 4, Paul said this to the Philippian brethren. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Why should you meditate on these things? Because they make things better in your mind. Because they make things more cultivating to things that are profitable. Remember what he wrote to the church of Colossae? If you then be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above and not the things that are on the earth, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. You've got to change the way you think. Brother, you know why people can break bad habits? Because they start understanding the spiritual consequences of those habits. When I understand that my bad habits are going to cost me my soul in eternity, I'm going to have a lot more motivation to get rid of them. It's not just a bad habit that I need to break so I'll be a better person. I need to break the habit because it's going to destroy my relationship with God. I've got to change the way I think about it. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 5 and 6, it says, "Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death. Now listen to what Paul said. To be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Brethren, you have to change the way you think. You have to understand that this physical bad habit has a bad spiritual consequence. Now, brethren, if you get it in your mind, then you'll begin to change in your action. If I get it in here that this habit can cost me my soul and cause me to be lost for all eternity, and I get it in here, then you know what's going to happen? I'm going to begin to do everything I can to get rid of that habit. But you know what? If I don't think that habit's very bad, and I think that's just a habit like people have other habits, and then my habit is no worse than their habit, then I'm just going to keep doing it. And I'm never going to quit. Brethren, in closing this morning, I want you to think about something. If we're ever going to convict the world that to be a child of God is the best life on earth to live, and it's the one that has the greatest reward for doing that type of life, then, brethren, we can't live like them, we can't talk like them, we can't think like them, and we can't act like them. And if we do, if we think like them, if we act like them, if we live like them, then there's no need for them to change because they're in the same position we are. And you know what? They're not right about a lot of stuff, but they're right about that. If we're living like them, acting like them, thinking like them, doing like them, and we don't have any difference in our life than them, then they're absolutely right. There's no need for them to change because we're both headed for the same place. The difference is we're both headed in the wrong direction. And so what I encourage you today is, brethren, don't let a habit steal your crown. Don't let a bad habit steal your crown, because you can break that bad habit. You can find the way to break it if you want to. If you're here this morning and you have a habit and you know that you shouldn't do it, and you know that it's something that you need to get rid of, and you know it's something that you need to stop doing, and that I just can't seem to do it, Keith. Every time I try, I fail. Every time I try to start to get rid of that habit, I just fall right back into it. Why does it happen? Here's why it happens. Because you're trying to do it alone, and because you haven't learned to hate it, and because you haven't learned that it has a strong consequence if you don't stop it. If I love steak. I mean, I love it. But if I went into the doctor's office tomorrow, and he said, Keith, if you eat one more piece of steak, your life is going to be decreased by 10 years, I would never have another steak. And you know what? It wouldn't be hard. You know why? Because I don't want to die in 10 years. If God lets me live long enough, I want to still be here. You see, it's not hard because I understand what the consequence is. I understand that that thing will hurt me. I'm not going to continue to do it. And brethren, that's how you got to look at a habit. If a habit can keep you out of heaven, you better get rid of the habit. Whatever it is, you better get rid of it. But if you don't believe it'll keep you out of heaven, you're never going to get rid of it. You're going to go to your grave with it. Now, you know what? There's some habits that you can take to your grave. They won't cost you your eternity. But brethren, there's a lot of them that will. And you got to be smart enough to know which one of those are bad enough to cause you to lose your soul. And so if you're here today and you're not a child of God, then the worst problem that you have, no matter what habit you have in your life, is that you're not in the household of God. You're not a member of the family of God. And you're not one of His children. And therefore, God cannot help you until you get into His family. And so the greatest thing that you need to do is come out of your sin. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to believe it. You need to repent of your sin. You need to confess His name before men. And you need to submit that you might be the blood of Christ, that you might become a member of His body, that you might be in the household of God, that you might be in the kingdom, that you might be one of His children, and He can help you over the habit that you've got. If you're Christian, if you're not a Christian today and you have a bad habit and you think, you know, I can't become a Christian until I get into that habit. Brother, that's the wrong way to look at it. You need to come to God and you need to get your sins forgiven, and then God will help you and your brethren will help you get rid of that habit. But if you continue trying to do it by yourself and you wait till you beat the habit, you might not live long enough to beat it. And then you lose twice. You lose in this life and you lose in eternity, and that's not a very good option. If you're here and you are a child of God, and you've developed bad habits along the way, and you're not, and you keep falling back into the pathways of habits that's going to have a detrimental effect on your spirituality, then you need to repent. You need to turn from it and you need to come home. And you need to pray and ask God to forgive you and ask us to help you and God to help you, and He will help you. Now, I don't want to leave this audience this morning with any misunderstanding. There are some habits that are harder to break than other habits. And there's some habits that will have physical consequences when you try to change them. There's no way around that. But you're strong enough to go through it. And you're strong enough to overcome it if you believe it and if you'll try. And if you'll try, God will help you. And we're here to help you. As together we stand, as we sing.